Let us turn to the Holy Scriptures, to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 1, and read the entire song of Zacharias. Luke 1, beginning at verse 67 to verse 79. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord, to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. Turn with me once again to the passage that we read together. And I will direct your attention to the text for this afternoon sermon, this post-communion sermon. Luke chapter 1, the last part of the song of Zacharias. He actually, in verse 76, begins to sing of his own son, John. Then I wish to preach this afternoon, especially on verse 78 and 79, where we read, Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Yeah, finally, Zacharias says a few things about his own son John. In verse 76, And thou child... Maybe he is holding John in his arms, that eight-day-old child, that small child, certainly. But he also knows that it will be a special child. After all, Gabriel had said that it would be so, that he would be the forerunner to the Lord Jesus. Zacharias had not believed those words, but now he does. The Lord has shown him that His word is true. And then Zacharias does give us a glimpse into the task of that young child. And he says two things of him. For one thing, John will be a preparer. Verse 76 says, He will prepare the way. So he will prepare the way for the Lord Jesus. That's why he must go before the face of the Lord, announcing to the people, the King is coming. The King is coming. And he must urge the people to set things right. And so he will come with a message of repentance, a fitting message. For suppose the King comes and you are not ready. Suppose the King comes and you are not prepared. No, the people need to make themselves ready. And so, John must preach. And it is a message that we must still take heed to today. So John is a preparer. The second thing we can say about John is that he will be a pointer. For after all, verse 77 speaks of salvation. And then it will not be enough for John to speak about the salvation and to teach a few things to the people. John must do more. He must point to the Savior and say that in Him is salvation. Salvation from sin. Remission of sin. Something certainly that Zacharias also needed. A sin, something that also caused him grief, especially that unbelief. And where could he go with that sin? Well, John, as it were, has already pointed him to the Savior, the promised Messiah. And that is what John would do in his ministry. Point. Prepare and point. And then I think that Zacharias was humbled that this child, whom he may hold in his arms, this child who is his own son, whom he has received at an old age, that this son will serve the Lord and go before the Messiah. Did Zacharias know the cost? What the cost would be for John? Did Zacharias know that after John has indeed prepared the way and after he has pointed to the Lamb of God, did he know that even a short time after that, that John would be set aside and that John would be arrested and that the executioner would come to his prison cell with a sword in order to slay John? Well, what Zacharias all knew would come of John is not told us, but he does not continue speaking about John. It's clear already in the song that John must be set aside and that the king must be spoken of, and that's who Zacharias has spoken of and now returns to speak of more. The child that would be born in Bethlehem. For there is no one as important as he. And now when he speaks of him, he speaks of him as the day spring in darkness. And that's what you can write over this sermon. Christ, the day spring in darkness. We'll see three things. First of all, the darkness. Secondly, the day spring. And thirdly, the direction. Christ, the day spring in darkness. We'll look first at the darkness, secondly at the day spring, and then thirdly, the direction. So the day spring is coming to shine in darkness. And then I want to speak about that darkness first. And when we listen to Zacharias in his song, he wants us to feel the seriousness of this darkness. For he speaks in verse 79 of those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. As something serious. It's clear, he's not just speaking about a little darkness. That if we were to dim the lights a little bit in the sanctuary this afternoon, but we could be able to make our way around. No, he is speaking about a deep darkness. A darkness that does not quickly pass. A darkness whereby you cannot even see. And yet there's danger all around, but you can't see the danger. And it's as if a shadow, you feel a shadow coming over you in the darkness. Zacharias calls it the shadow of death. The darkness. The shadow of death. Something that should make you afraid, don't you think? Maybe, boys and girls, you know what I mean. You know what it is to be afraid in the dark. You don't dare to go alone in the dark, maybe into the basement at night. Or maybe when you wake up in the middle of the night and you discover that it's all dark, you cry. Boys and girls know what it is to be afraid in the dark. That's what Zacharias pictures for us. The picture is a deep darkness, I said. It's not as if out in the darkness of the night there's clouds, but you can see through those clouds sometimes some stars shining through or the light of the moon shining through. No, it's pitch black. That's the darkness that has fallen upon sinful man. Ever since the fall into sin. I know man has tried to come up with different solutions to this darkness. We try and bring an end to darkness, and we try and come up with some light, and man tries to do that also in all its inventions that he has made and the advances that he has made in science and technology, and man has the impression that the world in which we are living surely is not as dark as it was before. Certainly these are not the dark ages. But the world's solutions are not true solutions. I mean, boys and girls, if you're sitting in the dark, it's pitch black. There's no light that can be turned on. It won't do for you to say, "Oh, I've got some glasses here. Why don't I put these glasses and then I can see?" Glasses or no dark, or no glasses, it's pitch black. There's no light. So man's solutions will not help. We need a divine solution. For indeed it is a serious condition, as I said already. Yeah, and then maybe it would be helpful for us to picture this serious condition. I mean, think of a time, especially when there were no street lights on the road and people were traveling. Maybe they set out on a journey and they hoped to reach their destination, but they did not reach their destination. It became dark, and it became night, and they don't see the path anymore. They don't see where they're going anymore. They don't know where to put their feet anymore, and as they're traveling, they stumble, they fall, and they don't dare to get up and go on, for they don't know if the next step that they take will be a step over the cliff into the precipice. So these travelers sit there in the dark. And the nighttime is not such a nice time, for that's when the wild animals come out. And these wild animals are howling. You get the picture? These travelers don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what their next step will be. They just sit there and they're afraid to move. They're afraid to even stand up. And there is no end to this darkness. And fear fills their heart. And maybe that is how you sat in church this morning. In the dark. Spiritually. In the night of your soul. Zacharias knew about this too. He knew that from his own life. It was not so long before. There was that time when the Lord came to him by that angel Gabriel. That angel had a message for him. But Zacharias could not believe that message. He called that message into question. But that is no small sin when you call God's word into question. When you respond to God's promises in unbelief, that is no small sin. And Zacharias, as a result of that, brought himself into darkness. But then he was brought back to the Word of God. And he thought on the Word of God. At least that's what we are led to believe, especially from the Scripture-filled song that he sings. He's been busy with the Word. He searched the Word. And faith began to be exercised again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he does not only speak of darkness, but also of the day spring. Our second point. The day spring.
And when he speaks about this day spring, then Zacharias gives us quite a picture under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. A picture that I think everyone here has seen. For I think that all of us have seen a sunrise. Maybe a very beautiful sunrise early in the morning, and it becomes light out in the east. The horizon becomes more and more bright. Maybe it becomes more orange. But then finally the sun comes. That's the picture here. Zacharias sings of the day spring. Literally, the rising. And then, we look to the east for that. For the sun rises in the east. But Zacharias does not point to the day spring from the east, but it's remarkable. He points to the day spring from on high, he says. This day spring comes from God. It comes from heaven. And that's the picture. And then we can say, I think, some three things about this day spring. First of all, we can speak about the person. And the person, who is this day spring? And that would be a good question for the parents to ask their children later on when they read the passage again. Who is this day spring? Well, then I think the boys and girls can tell me already. They can tell me the answer is the Lord Jesus. That's right. After all, he would say of himself, John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And he tells us more about himself, and he is the light that shineth in darkness, John 1, verse 5. He is the true light, John 1, verse 9. And so, even at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, before he comes to the final verses, he says, I am the bright and morning star. Jesus is the day spring. And someone says, well, that's surprising. Because if we look honestly at the child in Bethlehem, and if we follow him through his life, then there is no comeliness in him. There's no beauty in him that we should desire him. Is he now the day spring? Yeah. And he gives us glimpses of himself as the light of the world, doesn't he? I mean, he shows the three disciples that were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there, through his human nature, shines his glory. And so, Zacharias sings of the day spring at the beginning of the New Testament. And then I think it's clear that God's children need him. Maybe that's what you especially feel if you sat at the table this morning. And you take another step. Another step. You need the Lord. Show me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Need the day spring. But then secondly, we're not only told of the person, we're also told of his power. Let that be the second thing that we say of him. His power, for of him Zacharias sings in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. So he gives light to those that sit in darkness. Remarkable, the thing happens when the sun arises in the east. Who can drive the darkness of night away? Only that powerful blazing sun. You see the power that it speaks here of the Lord Jesus? Who can drive the darkness of our soul away? Only the Lord Jesus. Shall I tell you how he's done that? Let me use two biblical illustrations. The first illustration I use is from John 8, where we meet with a woman caught in adultery, and she is brought before the Lord Jesus, and it's clear that she has been living in darkness. And maybe that's how some of our young friends sit here. Or maybe some adults sit here. in darkness, pursuing pleasures, pursuing the world. Well, that's what this woman was doing, and she is without any happiness and without any light. After all, it's after this account of the woman caught in adultery in John 8, it's immediately after that that he tells those who are listening, I am the light of the world. That means that this woman has been living in darkness. She's been living seeking her happiness in the creature rather than in the Creator. But now she has met Him who is the light of the world. And what has the Lord Jesus done? Shall I say it very simply? He's done two things. For she needs her eyes open to her sin. Well, that is something the Lord Jesus does. He makes sinners come to blush before Him. And that they come to see that their sins are committed as sins against God. But the Lord Jesus does not want this woman only to know her sin. He wants her also to know salvation. He wants to know that there is forgiveness with Him. And what a change that is. When the light goes on to her sins, what she has been doing, living in the dark, pursuing the pleasures, and really finding no happiness. But the Lord also reveals Himself as the Savior, for it is to her that He says, neither do I condemn thee. What power the Lord can display. Maybe there's a father or mother sitting here thinking of their son or their daughter, and that son or daughter is living just the same way, really. Maybe in a more religious way, but also in the dark. Who now can show this young man or this young girl what their need is? The Lord can. The Lord has power like the sun to drive the night of darkness away. He did it then in the case of this woman caught in adultery. But let me give a second biblical illustration. And then I think of the man who is singing this song himself, Zacharias. I said already that he has brought upon himself darkness because of his unbelief. And the Lord does not leave this sin of unbelief unpunished. And so Zacharias comes to feel the disfavor of God. He comes to be in the dark. He too has stumbled and has fallen. But he did not stay in the dark. The light began to shine in his soul. How this happened and when exactly it happened is not told us. Maybe it came gradually. After all, that's what the Lord does often in the lives of His people, gradually, leading them bit by bit. Maybe it went slowly in the life of Zacharias. The Scriptures began to speak again, for Zacharias has opened them again. And he calls those Scriptures to mind, and he sees what he has done, and he sees what God is doing. And he sees that God has come to shine in my darkness. After all, that's what He has promised to do already in the Old Testament Scriptures. And the light goes on, even before the mouth goes open. The Lord is the dayspring who has power. But more yet, I said, let us say three things about this dayspring. We've looked at His person, looked at His power, but thirdly, His presence. He comes not only with His power, He comes with His presence. For that dayspring from on high not only has come to shine on us, Zacharias sings, like the sun so many millions of miles away, comes in the morning to shine upon us. No, this day spring comes close. He comes to visit us. Verse 78, He hath visited us. And He could even come into the home of Zacharias and Elizabeth, for there He is in the womb of Mary, that young girl from Nazareth. The Lord has come to visit. He comes to meet with sinners in the dark who don't know where to go, who see that the next step that they might take might be the step down over the precipice.
The day spring has come. But why? Why has he come?
Don't you think that Zacharias must have asked himself that question too during those 9 months? Why, especially when he responded to that message from the angel, when he responded to that message in unbelief? And you would think that if the light of the world was about to come and Zacharias is being told, but he responds with unbelief, he puts a big X through that message. You would think that the Lord would say, okay, the sun is not coming. The sun is going back down again. And you would think, at the news of the unbelief of Zacharias, that the Lord would keep the light of the world away. As I said, he would make the sun and then the sun of righteousness sink back down and not come up. And the darkness would remain. But now the day spring has come. Yes, why? Well, then it's clear that it's not because of him as priest. And it is not because of the people. There's nothing that they can recommend themselves to God, and that God would cause that day spring to shine upon their darkness because of themselves. No. Zacharias is convinced of that. And Zacharias has been busy with that question. You can tell it in his song. It comes out. He's been busy with it. And he has found the answer. Yeah, he's convinced of it too. That the reason which he sees for the day spring coming, he tells us in verse 78a, through the tender mercy of our God. That's the reason. And when he uses that word tender, he does use a very tender word. He gives us quite a picture. Let me illustrate it. If a mother has a boy goes away, young man goes away, has turned his back on his mother, has turned his back on his father's home. But the day comes when the son returns home. Maybe the mother sees him. Maybe at a distance. And something deep inside of her is touched. Why would the Lord visit his people? In darkness? What explains it? The Lord has sent his son into the world. What explains it when the Lord visits his people, that soul that is in darkness? I put it very simply. The deep down mercy of God. Well, then when we listen to Zacharias singing of the day spring, then I think it is clear what he would tell us. Yeah, that we need him. That we need this day spring, the Lord Jesus. And maybe that's what the Holy Spirit has been convincing you of. Maybe also in this past week in preparation for the Lord's Supper, maybe all you saw was darkness. The more that you looked, the more that you looked into your own heart, the more maybe that you turned even to the Bible, the more darkness you found. Well, and now Zacharias may sing of the Lord Jesus, the day spring, whom we need. Yes. Think of Pilgrim's Progress. Christian and Pilgrim's Progress. He came to see the need to flee the city of destruction. But where must he go? Well, and then the evangelist meets him and asks him, here is where you need to go. Do you see yonder wicket gate? And Christian is honest and he says, no. And the evangelist said, do you see yonder shining light? And Christian said, I think so. The evangelist told him to keep that light in his eye. That's the direction that you need to go. The direction, let me put it this way, the direction of this day spring. It's Christ we need. And of course, you know what happened when Christian went out of the way, when he went, and started to climb up Mount Sinai and was headed for the direction of Mr. Legality. Then he was out of the way. We don't need Moses. You can also say we don't need the sacraments in the first place. Sometimes that's where people go wrong too. They think, well, if only I go to the Lord's Supper, then everything is well with me, and then we can be at rest. No. Our form for the Lord's Supper tells us how it should be, and it points us not to the bread and to the wine and to simply taking a seat at the Lord's Supper. It points away to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us lift up our hearts on high to Him, to Christ. You see, we need Christ. He is the light. He gives light. He opens eyes. With Him is forgiveness. Through Him is the favor of God. And maybe then there is a young person here who says, now, Pastor, tell me the way to go. Do you see yonder shining light? The preaching of the gospel, the day spring from on high, that's the direction. And every other direction leaves you in the dark, in the city of destruction, which will burn up with eternal fire. But now, I asked earlier on the question, did Zacharias know everything that would become of John, and that John would have to move out of the way, and that he would be taken into the prison cell, and that he would meet an executioner? Now, we can ask the same thing. Did Zacharias know all that would happen to the day spring? Did he know that the darkness did not like the light? And that the darkness would try to extinguish the light. And they would try to snuff out the light of the world. And that's the reason why they brought him before the Sanhedrin. And that they would bring him before Pontius Pilate. And then with every spit on his face and with every punch to his head and with every stripe on his back, you know what they're trying to do? It's as if they're trying to take a light bulb and smash it into pieces. They're wanting to smash the day spring of this world to pieces. And that's what happened, had to happen to the Lord Jesus, that He would suffer in the dark. Yet the eternal darkness that we deserve, He suffered. And there He was under the wrath of His Father on Golgotha, and that is how He died. And you would think, now what has become of the light of the world? Is it not dashed in pieces? Has the darkness won, after all? It seemed like it. But 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And the open grave tells us that though the darkness tried to overtake Him, and though it tried to extinguish the light, it could not. The day spring is alive, and He is now exalted at the right hand of the Father, and He is still the light of the world. And if there is a sinner in darkness who says, I sit in darkness. Maybe that's how you sat here this morning. No light. Maybe someone says, Pastor, it was so bad with me. It is so bad with me, maybe. It's as if I'm in a dungeon. Darkest dungeon. And I can't seem to get out of it. What shall I tell you about the day spring? You're not too far away from the Lord of light. He can come to that dungeon you are in, and He can come and visit you. In the words of Isaiah 42, verse 7, that's what He has come to do, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's what he has come to do. Or to put it in the words of the poet, long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Has that happened in your life already? Has the day spring come to visit you? The light went on. Yeah, that is what has happened in the lives of some of us. That is what has happened throughout the history of the world. And let me tell you the story of one such person. Yeah, I'm thinking now of a young woman in the north of Scotland by the name of Tricia Black. In the 1900s, early 1900s, she too had spent her early years in the dark. In fact, she was seeking her happiness in drink, in parties, and in pleasures. But then one day, her twin sister's boyfriend was going to preach on the Lord's Day. And her mother said, Tricia, you're coming to church. She'd not been there for 3 years. And when she came there, she heard this minister preach on, thy word is as a lamp unto my feet, a light upon my path. And the minister spoke about the Lord and about how he gives direction and that people are like climbers on a hill, lost in a thick fog. And the preacher said that the Lord and his word are the light for the path. This young woman listened and she found the message so simple and she said, never has a sermon seemed so right and so clear. A light went on in my heart. These people have got it, she said. They know the purpose and meaning of life. I have stumbled enough through life. I need what these people have. The Lord Jesus. Is that maybe what needs to happen to? Is that maybe what will happen this very day? That you say that too. I have stumbled enough in the dark. I need the day spring. Well, and then we come to our third point, direction. For Zacharias sings of that too. The last words, actually, of his song speak of it, where he says to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, this belongs to the work of the day spring too. And then he has to show us the pathway that he wants us to go on. And for that he has given his word, after all, as Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light upon my path. And that is what the Lord's people do well to remember, to open the word of God. Also, when we leave the house of God and when we leave the table and we go into another week, then the Lord wants us to take the word and to open it, for the Lord wants to show us the way that we must go. But not only does he want us to know the way. I mean, if you were to ask someone for directions and you say, now how do I get there? And the person explains it and maybe even draws a diagram for you and gives you the street names, and then you may say, oh, wonderful, I know the directions now. But it's not enough for you to know the way or to see the way. You need to actually begin to take steps on the way. And that's what the Lord wants to do too. To guide us on that way, Zechariah says. To set our feet on the way. And then the picture is, as it were, of a mother teaching her little child how to walk. The child takes his first steps, and you know how that goes. It seems as if the child cannot get even his legs straight and his feet straight. He's so wobbly, falls down so easily. My mother has to pick the child up again and set his feet ever so gently and carefully and holding on to him, setting his feet. She guides his feet. Is that not what we need? The hand of the day spring to guide our feet in the path of peace. Is that not what you found? That your legs are just as wobbly as that young child, and your feet are just as crooked as that young child, and prone to halt and stumble. You need his hand to guide each foot to Jesus, to the cross of Jesus. You need those hands even to bring you to his table. Otherwise, you won't make it. You need him in your daily task, in your daily walk, in your daily talk. And we need him. For if he leaves us to our own self-chosen ways, then we'll go again into the ways of arguing and the ways of selfishness and bitterness and pride. Oh, we need the day spring to take us by the hand each day to guide our feet into the way. You get the message of Zacharias? We need the Lord from beginning to end. We need him to meet us in darkness and to lead us on the way of peace. And we need him from beginning to end. Let me try and make this clear with an illustration. There's an old story that is told of a mountaineer who discovered a large secret valley. And with great skill, he became the first outsider to descend its steep sides of this valley and meet the people. And in the valley, he meets with these people who have never had any contact with the outside world. And on top of that, they are all blind. Completely blind. None of them knows what it is to see. They don't know the difference between light and darkness. They don't know colors. They live by using their other senses. But now, this man has come over the mountain and he speaks to them about seeing and about colors and about light, and they think this stranger, there's something wrong with him. And one day this man overhears them talking together, and they've come to the conclusion that this stranger must be crazy. And that if only those eyes that he has would be taken out, then he would become normal. Well, upon hearing this, he quickly puts his things together and he quickly leaves the climbing. He quickly leaves by climbing the sides of the steep mountain again. He leaves the kingdom of the blind far behind him. Now, the Lord Jesus does something else. Yeah, if I can use this as a parable of the Lord Jesus, he too comes from far. He too comes to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and he could see. And all those whom he has met with, they did not have eyes to see what he saw. And what did man want to do with him? Well, they wanted to put him to death so that they could continue living the way that they always had. But now the Lord Jesus does not quickly escape them. He does not quickly leave and return back to heaven. He stays with them. And he lets himself be rejected of men. And he endured the darkness of Golgotha. And he bore the curse of his father. And he died. But he rose again. And as I said before, he went to heaven. But from heaven,
You know what he does? He gives eyes to the blind. And he teaches them to walk. And he guides their feet up the mountain. And Zacharias has learned that he cannot do without the leading of this day spring. For when Zacharias has to go alone, then he will not make it. Then he brings himself in darkness. And then he cannot take one step forward again. And Zacharias sees he cannot do without the day spring. But he doesn't have to do without the day spring either. The day spring is his guide. The day spring is his shepherd. Let Zacharias only depend on the day spring. For the day spring guides in the way of peace. And that is what Zacharias had been missing when he responded to that message of God in unbelief. Peace he missed. And then he was restless, and then his conscience was troubled, and he missed the Lord. And there he was in the darkness, but the Lord thought on him. And the Lord visited him. And, yeah, Zacharias knew that with the Lord there is forgiveness, and he found the Lord gracious, and the Lord gave peace again. How careful we should be. For we can rob ourselves of the peace with God, dear children of God. And we can rob ourselves of the peace of conscience. But is this not the way to go forward? From the table into another week, into another season? I know. We can be so afraid of ourselves and of our own evil heart. Can you not tell that to the Lord? Lord, I don't trust myself. I need Thee to show me my way, to guide me in that way. And then Zacharias may look with confidence upward. The Lord will guide him. But what if you have to go a hard way? What if you have to go a trying way? What if you have to go through the water and through the fire? He says, I will be with thee. The water shall not overflow thee, and the fire shall not burn thee. You see, the day spring shall guide your feet unto the heavenly Jerusalem, where you may see him. Him whom your soul has come to love. And you may be in the heavenly Jerusalem, where there will be no more darkness. No, there will be no more darkness there. The Lamb is the light. The day will then dawn. Completely. And what if you are on the wrong way? What if you are still on the broad way? The way that leads to death. The way without peace. You've never had your darkness enlightened. Shall you not cry to the Lord? For if you stay on in that darkness without crying to the Lord, the day will come when it will be eternal darkness. Shall I tell you what one blind man did? He cried, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. When it seemed the Lord did not hear him the first time, he cried again, all the louder, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the day spring said to him, What is it that I can do for you? Lord, that I might see. The Lord opened his eyes, and he followed Jesus in the way, as the words of the poet had given, rose forth and follow thee. Amen.